Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
So much going on. Cowboys are the center of a lot of it. Baker Mayfield putting himself back in it, and I like what he said. World Series Game 2 on the schedule for tonight. In fact, that seems like a place to start with one of my favorite Los Angelinos and Dodger fans. Keyshawn Johnson is with me. Key, how are we feeling after Game 1? Clayton Kershaw, Mookie Betts and company up 1-0. How do we feel?
You always feel good in a 7-game series when you can get one up. Even though it's a neutral site, you feel good about the way Kershaw pitched 6 innings, 1 earned run. You know, and so 8 strikeouts. And what's so interesting and fascinating to me is he had about 70, I think about 74, 75 pitches. And 50-some of those pitches were in the strike zone. So that made you feel good about the way that he prepared. And he could come back if there's a Game 5 and pitch for us in Game 5 on short rest.
Let me ask you a question. How does it feel for all of these good things to be happening? Because the teams I root for stink and have stunk basically my entire lives. And in the span of a month, you might be about to get a championship for the Lakers and a championship for the Dodgers. I ask because I would have no way of knowing. What does that feel like?
It feels good. It feels real good to be able to celebrate the NBA title in the pandemic and know that you have something to look forward to with the Dodgers. You know, now, the times about a week ago looked kind of, you know, real dark and bleak. But we pulled through it, and now we won up in the Rays, which, by the way, is a pretty good ball club. A real good ball club that was also, once upon a time, run and built by Andrew Freeman, who's my old general manager with the Dodgers.
Keyshawn with me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gas. Key, let's talk about the Cowboys, because obviously that is the center of so much of the football conversation here. For those who didn't get a chance to hear you on the radio this morning, what is your just big picture look at a Dallas team that is not only playing badly, but now feels like it might be falling apart at the seams?
They need to try to get it turned around fast. And if they don't get it turned around fast, I'm afraid that the team is going to just completely unravel at the seams. And you thought that that was a disaster against Arizona, and they looked pathetic. Wait till you see a team that, you know, loses more games and see no light at the end of the tunnel. Although I would say, Greeny, even if they lost, they'd still be in contention. Even if they lost this weekend, they'd still be in contention to win the division based on how poor the NFC East is as a whole.
You know, that's true. They could wind up being in contention all through the year, almost no matter how badly things go. The other thing, and you and I had a very interesting conversation about this off the air this morning, because Ed Werder brought up the idea that there may be a mental or psychological hangover on this team based on losing their starting and star quarterback in Dak Prescott. And you remembered a time in 1999 when your team lost your star quarterback in week one and you pulled it together. I'd love you to share those thoughts and what they mean going forward from this morning.
Well, you know, when we lost Vinny Testaverde in 1999, similar to Dak Prescott at the beginning of the season, we're trying to find ourselves. I mean, it was the first game of the year for us. The Dallas Cowboys are trying to find themselves. They lose our quarterback. We lost Vinny to a Achilles tear. And we had so many bright hopes and coming off an AFC championship appearance the year before. You know, we had to rally our veteran players, the Brian Coxes of the world, the Wayne Corbett of the world, the Aaron Glenn, the Mo Lewis's, the Marvin Jones. We had something to still play for. We knew that we were a good football team. Once we found the right quarterback, we found Ray Lucas a little bit too late, but we didn't completely fold the tent at all. And I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys situation, Andy Dalton was supposed to be that guy. But they don't really have a locker room, so to speak, leader. I think that guy was Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton, who a lot of people really would argue is probably the most, I don't want to say complete, but probably the best backup quarterback money could buy in the offseason. More than Winston, more than Mariota. And he just looked lost out there playing. And they certainly didn't envision him to look the way he looked. He looked like hot garbage. You know what hot garbage in August in New York City on the curb smells like and looks like? It stinks. And that's the way he looked out there on the field. Will he come back his second start and do a better job? Probably, because he realizes the first time around it didn't go as well.
Yeah, and they play Washington this week as Edwarder pointed out with me earlier here, that's not a good team, but they do have a pass rush. And if they get all over Dalton with that offensive line banged up as they are in Dallas, it could be trouble. One more thing quickly for you, Keegan, that is, I know that on your show in the mornings, you have been, as I just started yesterday, becoming very interested in the possibilities of Jim Harbaugh coming back to the NFL as a coach. What are you seeing there and what are you thinking?
You know, I started this thinking process about a year ago. One is he can't seem to get over Ohio State, which is a big plus for Ohio State and a bad for Michigan fans. But here's a guy with 2 years left on his contract. He's the only Power 5 coach in America with a contract that basically has 1 year left on it, because the other year is a throwaway year. You become a lame duck. He failed at winning a Super Bowl, although he got there. He was a successful NFL head coach with unfinished business. He's flirted with the Chicago Bears job, the Indianapolis Colts possibilities over the last several years. Here we are in New York. They potentially could have an opening with the New York Jets. There's an opening in Atlanta. There could potentially, maybe, depending on how Dallas' season unravels, an opening in Dallas Cowboy Country. If I'm the truck up and give him whatever he wants to come do the job. Now, if these are Jets, I don't part ways with Joe Douglas. I get them to work together. If they're the Dallas Cowboys, I'll let him help do whatever it is so I can get a guy who knows what the hell he's doing and pay him whatever it takes to get a job done. Now, he's going to wear out his welcome in 4 to 5 years, but do you really think I care if I'm an owner that just wants to get to a Super Bowl?
I'm with you. I see it exactly the same way. Keyshawn, I'll let you run. Thank you so much. We'll hear you tomorrow morning, coast to coast, right here on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Keyshawn Johnson with me on ESPN Radio. I see it exactly the same way. Again, I don't know whether or not Jim Harbaugh wants to go to the NFL, but I do know that I read that story. I read it to you yesterday here on the show, if you were with me. That there was a story in the Free Press yesterday that pointed out exactly what Key just said, that he's the only coach that doesn't have more than this year and next left on his contract. He's quoted as saying that just isn't a priority for him right now. I don't know that he wants to go back to the NFL. But I do know that if I'm a team with an opening, I'm looking in that direction. I'm looking at Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, in my opinion, was a fantastic coach in San Francisco. Fantastic. He's done better in Michigan than most people realize. Now, I have been one who have said all along, I believe he will want to get his alma mater over the hump he hasn't gotten over yet, which, of course, is the Columbus hump. You got to get over Ohio State. You got to get into the college football playoff. Maybe he looks at it and says, I've done everything I can here. I don't know. I hope he stays. I've said it a million times. There'll be a million NFL coaches. They'll come and they'll go. It is better when really good college coaches stay in college. Better for everybody. And I think Harbaugh is a terrific coach and a good guy. I like Jim. I've known him since he was the quarterback of the Bears. I covered him in 1992. So I like Jim Harbaugh, and I'm not trying to tell him he should leave Michigan. If he wants to stay at Michigan, he probably needs to do an extension so people stop talking about it, because he can't be doing his recruiting any good to have people talking about it. You can't avoid talking about it when he doesn't have the year left on his deal. But if you were an NFL team with an opening, I would unquestionably be gassing up the private jet and flying out to Ann Arbor. Get myself an audience with Jim Harbaugh. Try and bring him into my program. Coach up a quarterback. Turn around a culture. Yes, he wears on people. Yes, it's not a long-term proposition. But that's okay. It's okay. He gets you there. They were one play away from winning a championship in San Francisco. They were actually one play away a couple of times. They were one play away from another Super Bowl. Richard Sherman breaks up a pass. They were another game that they played in the NFC Championship game against the Giants, in which they had multiple turnovers on punts. He could have easily been in three straight Super Bowls with San Francisco. That's how good those teams were. And he took over Alex Smith and turned Alex Smith from a guy who was a bust. There's just no other word for it. Alex Smith was a bust. And he completely changed the trajectory of Smith's career. And then he had the foresight and the courage, whatever it takes, to make the change, which was not an easy one to make. It was not a popular move based upon the whole you don't lose your starting job because of injury deal. But Alex Smith has a concussion. In comes Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick is obviously the more effective quarterback, although Smith was playing great, and Harbaugh makes the change. And if you were around then, you'll remember there were a lot of people who disagreed with that decision, and it was obviously the right one. Next thing you know, Kaepernick is setting a record for most rushing yards in a playoff game, and they're in the Super Bowl. And they're one play away from winning that game at the end against Harbaugh's brother. So, do I think that if you're just insert team here, he would probably have to move out of his house if the Lions make a coaching change? That seems like a likely one. There could be a lot of turnover in the NFL. And I don't wish that on anybody. I'm not one who sits there and screams and yells about people getting fired. I just don't do it. There's not a lot of upside in it. I also don't think, here's the problem with some of it. You hire someone because you believe in them. Unless it is just an abject disaster, unless they demonstrate that they have no idea what they're doing, then when you believe in someone, you stand by them through at least some adversity. The biggest mistake teams make in sports, I think, is they just, if it doesn't work, we're gone. If it doesn't work, we're gone. If it doesn't work, we're gone. I get that we live in something of an impatient society, but that's not a good way to operate any business, and it's certainly not a good way to operate a football program. So I don't know, but I certainly think just looking around, Atlanta is already open. We know that. Houston is already open. We know that. Both those places have interesting quarterback situations. Houston has a great young quarterback, and he's locked up. Contractually. Atlanta, I'm not sure what they're going to do. They're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. So are they going to want to start over again around Matt Ryan? Are they going to want to start over again around Justin Fields if they can get him or some other rookie? Are they going to go a different route than that? It's an interesting one. Detroit, same questions. They're going to try and build again around Matt Stafford. They're not getting the first pick. I'm telling you all right now, I know who's getting the first pick. If you watch the Jets play, you know that they're not winning a game. The Jets are going to be 0-16. So the Jets are going to get the first pick. Whether Trevor Lawrence decides he's willing to play there or not is an entirely different conversation, and a depressing one at that. But if you're Atlanta and Houston, let's use those two because they've already made the changes. They've already fired their coaches. And then you look at a handful of other places that feel like they could come open. I would definitely be considering Jim Harbaugh if I'm any of those places. All right, Greedy with you here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our guest, as always, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I got a choice here. Bubba, do I want to tell everyone my thoughts on the Cowboys thing again, or do I want to go through the baseball? Which one do you want? Which one do you think people want to hear? Because I got myself to an angry place. I'm just going to be open with the audience right now. I'm going to tell you right now exactly what's happening here. I was going to go back over my rant about the Cowboys and how chicken bleep that locker room is and how much I hate these anonymous quotes. But I got myself into a very worked up, angry place when I did that. And I don't know that I emotionally feel like going back there again. And I have some good stuff to get to on the baseball. So hashtag Bubba, which direction would you lead me in?
Well, as much as I hate it, I think people want to hear you talk about the Cowboys again, because I think it was, you made some good points.
All right. Greeny insists we talk about the Cowboys. In this case, it's hashtag Bubba. Hashtag Bubba insists we talk about the Cowboys, brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Here's the deal. Jane Slater, very good reporter for NFL Network, got anonymous quotes from two different Cowboys players talking about how bad the coaches are, how bad the coaching is in Dallas. And I sat here and I will sit here and look you right in the eye and I will say that football players are inherently tough people. It requires a combination of courage, like a fine line between courage and insanity to play that sport. And I mean that with the ultimate respect for the toughness that is involved in playing that sport. Lord knows I couldn't do it. Couldn't even think about it. But I will say this. There is no bigger coward than the football player giving anonymous quotes in the locker room about the coach when the team is playing bad. So whoever those players are, I know they think they're tough. I know they tell people how tough they are all the time. But I'm putting my name on it. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio saying, if you're one of those Dallas Cowboys players, you're a coward. That's cowardly. It's cowardice. It's the definition of it. Herman Edwards said it on my old show. Put your name on it. No problem with you saying it. Put your name on it. You may be right. Cowboys look terrible. Coaching looks terrible. Ball security, effort on defense, game plan, all looks awful. No one's arguing with that. But if you're a player, are you trying to find a solution? Or are you trying to make the problem worse? Because that's what you're doing. So the question is, what is your agenda? Why are you trying to pour gasoline on this fire? Your season has not spiraled out of control because you're leading your division. But even if you weren't, I would say this if it was a member of the Jets whose season is over, or the Falcons or the Vikings or any team whose season is realistically over. It's my job to complain about the coaches. Baker Mayfield said it great earlier. He said, it's their job to talk and it's my job to play. That's exactly right. We'll sit here and talk about how badly your team is being coached. That's our job. Your job is to try and make it better. And so again, don't tell me you're trying to do something for the betterment of the team. You're not a whistleblower. Karen Silkwood was a whistleblower. She was trying to save people's lives. You're a snitch. You're a chicken. That's what you are. If you're giving anonymous quotes to a reporter about how bad the coaching is on your team, when your team is losing, that's what you are. You're a snitch. So that's what they have in Dallas now. Now, where do they go from there? I don't know. I really don't. Mike McCarthy hasn't built up anywhere near the equity in that room to do anything about it. So it's on the leaders of that team, and I don't know who they are. I know who some of them were, but they're all gone. I don't know if Dak Prescott can get in there on crutches and start yelling at people. I don't know if he has any inclination to do it. Jason Witten's not there anymore. Is Zeke Elliott a leader on that team? I don't know. Fumbles a lot. When he fumbles, Zeke's a great player. I'm not trying to take anything away from Zeke. Great players have bad games. He had a very bad game Monday night. Maybe he's a guy who can get up there and say something. But I know that my inclination right now would be, if I was a leader on that team, to get up in the middle of the room and say, guys, this stops now. You got something to say, say it now. Say it out loud right now. Let's get it out. Get it out in the open. Let everybody talk about it. And then let's go out there and try and win a freaking football game. Because, oh, by the way, the whole division is terrible. We could still win the Super Bowl this year. I know that's crazy, but they have to think that way. They have to. So that's what's going on in Dallas right now, and it's a disaster. So that's when you have reached the worst point you can as a team. There's no worse point than the anonymous quotes from the players about how bad the coaches are. That's the worst point you can get to as an NFL team. But that never happens when you're in first place. See, that's why this is such a crazy circumstance. I really don't know what to say about it or what to expect to happen next. Because usually that kind of thing happens when you're 0-6 and the division leader is 4-2 and your season is over. And now you're trying to get the coach fired because you know he's going to get fired and you're trying to get whatever your agenda is accomplished. But in Dallas, they can still accomplish things. Crazier things have happened. Andy Dalton's been around the block and back again. He can play. Doesn't mean they have no chance at a season. They can put something together. Not going to help if you're sitting there giving anonymous quotes like a chicken. So that is what is going on in Dallas. And if you thought that was a little too serious for the lighthearted mood of the day, blame hashtag Bubba. Bubba, I'm blaming you. In fact, there's only one way to cheer me up. Play some of my favorite music. Go ahead. Play the song. Play a song. I need to hear it. I need to hear the See, this is my favorite song. So for those of you joining me, if you're not with us this morning, Desmond Howard did the show on Get Up this morning with the album cover of Off the Wall, Michael Jackson's best album, directly behind him. You couldn't miss it. It was extremely prominent. Girl, close your eyes. See, I love this song. And it is my opinion, and I said it on the air, and I've had this argument off the air many times. My sister-in-law and I once got into a heated debate over what is Michael Jackson's best album. And the easy answer is Thriller. Because every single song on it practically was the number one song in America at one time. I'm old enough to remember when these albums were first came out. And Thriller is a great album, and it is a landmark album. And it is his most significant work. But this is a better album. Song for song, this is a better album. It's better than Bad. It's better than Thriller. It's better than any other Michael Jackson album. The only Michael Jackson music that I put up against this is Jackson 5. See, I'm one of those very, I'm one of those rare people who will tell you Michael Jackson's best work was actually with the Jackson 5. And this was sort of a more of a derivative of that. And then as it progressed a little bit, the music went to a different place. And look, I'm not knocking Thriller. I love the album Thriller, but this is a better album. So that put a little smile on my face. I hope I put a little smile on yours. We will get hashtag Bubba back in here in a moment for who you got, despite my better judgment.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Welcome back. Greeny coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, and delighted you are along for the ride. Half past the hour, really busy day. Talking about the Cowboys a little earlier. That'll be part of the podcast today. It's up there every single day, wherever you get your podcasts, hashtag Greeny. But right now, it is time for the real star of our show. That is hashtag Bubba with Who You Got. Good afternoon again, Bubba.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it.
Who you got?
Yeah, hello.
Who you got? So Bubba, again, is going to throw out a bunch of questions at me here and make me choose one or the other. I like being on the other side of this. It's usually my job to ask the questions, but now Bubba will throw them at me. Go ahead, Bubba.
All right, let's start. Who you got? Brought to you by Grainger. The Steelers and Titans are both 5-0, the only undefeated teams in the AFC. So who you got as the best team in the AFC? Pittsburgh, Tennessee, or someone else?
Love the question. I believe that the best team in the AFC is Pittsburgh by an eyelash over the Titans. I've got the Steelers this weekend 27-26 in this battle of the unbeatens in the AFC. And I think they are two of the three teams that at least what I'm seeing now suggests to me could wind up in the Super Bowl. I only see three teams right now that I reasonably could see in the Super Bowl from the AFC. And the Ravens are not one of them. The Ravens don't look right. There's a ton of time left. There's one thing we figured out in sports. It's that in the NFL, you don't really know who's really good until Thanksgiving. We're not even at Halloween yet. But right now, the three teams that I could see in the Super Bowl from the AFC are these two and Kansas City. I will put Pittsburgh number one in that group because their defense is so good. I trust the coach and trust the quarterback. As much as I like the coach and the quarterback in Tennessee, I trust the coach and quarterback in Pittsburgh just that much more. Give me the Steelers, and they win this Sunday by one. Bubba, what's next?
All right, from good teams to bad, who has the better chance of being benched first, Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield? Who you got?
That's a very tricky question because part of it has to do with the record. The Vikings, if they're not hopelessly out of it yet, are going to be soon. What does that mean for their quarterback decision? The Browns, and Baker said it himself, he said, it feels like we're 0-6 around here, but they're 4-2. They figure to be in it most, if not all, of the way. Does that make it more or less likely that he gets benched? I'm going to say when push comes to shove, between those two, based upon the backup, the history of Kevin Stefanski with Case Keenum, who had his one great NFL season with Stefanski as his offensive coordinator, ironically in Minnesota, where they decided to sign Kirk Cousins instead of keeping him, I am going to go Baker Mayfield, more likely to be benched first ahead of Kirk Cousins. Bubba, what's next?
All right. Yesterday, you said right here on Hashtag Greeny, you wanted Jim Harbaugh to coach the Jets next season. But if he's not an option, and you can pick between Eric Bieniemy or, let's say, Josh McDaniels, who you got?
No question, Bieniemy. If those are the options, in fact, if almost any one of the options, everyone raves about Eric Bieniemy. I've never met him in my life, but everyone raves about him. And Andy will tell you, don't call this my offense, that Bieniemy is very much a part of what they're putting together in Kansas City. But as I've said, and this is the point I was trying to make yesterday, it's not about the X's and the O's. It's about the leadership. It's about who's a leader. I know that Jim Harbaugh is. I don't know anything about these, I called them yesterday, 32-year-old offensive coordinators who have great X's and O's. And if they have Sean McVay in their contacts, someone wants to hire them for a job. That's not the job. The job is not coordinating an offense. It's not even developing a quarterback. It's coaching a team and setting a culture. People rave about Eric Bieniemy. So between those two options, I would unquestionably go Bieniemy. In fact, of any of the assistant coach options that I am aware of, Eric Bieniemy would be my number one choice. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, hashtag Bubba with who you got. What's next?
All right, and as we talked about a few weeks ago, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred has stated he would like to see some version of the expanded playoffs remain, but he also would like the runner on second base and extra innings to continue too. So if you were commissioner, what would you be doing, keeping the extra inning rule permanently or going back to the old way? Who you got?
I think that this will surprise you. I think I'd leave it. When they first instituted it, I said, I guess anything's possible in 2020 because that's about as ridiculous. Well, it's about as gimmicky a change as I can think of any sport making in a really long time. But then I watched it. I've been one who's been in favor of ending games in a tie if they reach a certain number of innings, 12, even 10. Play a 10th inning, and if nobody scores, end it in a tie. If it's still tied after 10 innings, end it in a tie. Everyone yells at me when I say that. So maybe this makes it less likely to end in a tie. And you know who I'm not interested in hearing from? I'm not interested in hearing from the baseball traditionalists anymore. Watch your game. Look at your sport. No one puts a ball in play anymore. We're acting like Mookie Betts just set the world on fire because he stole two bases. It's because baseball doesn't look like it used to anymore. Don't tell me how great baseball is and you shouldn't change it when all it has done is change. Everybody's swinging from their heels. Ball gets put in play maybe once every half hour. So I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested in hearing about how the game is sacrosanct because analytics have changed it far more than the commissioner has the ability to change it. If you can make a change that makes it more fun, I'm in. So I'll live with this one. It wouldn't have been my idea, but I support it. If he decides to do it, I'll back it. I'm in. Bobby, you got one more?
All right, just marking down here. Greeny hates traditionalists.
I know.
All right, yep.
Oh, yes. I don't hate the rule. I do hate traditionalists.
All right.
Because it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cling to something that doesn't exist anymore in baseball. Baseball doesn't look anything like it did. Forget about when I was a kid. Forget about that. No sport looks like it did when I was a kid. Baseball doesn't look like it did 5 years ago. We have a bullpen game today. What does that even mean? We start games now with openers. What is that? We're swinging for the fences on everything. 12 strikeouts is like a walk in the park these days. Tyler Glasnow, we were talking about how, well, maybe he'll get out of the fifth inning. Fifth inning? That's not what baseball's supposed to be, or at least it isn't what it used to be. So lots of things aren't what it used to be. Traditionalists have long since lost this argument, whether I love them or hate them. Bring on something new and fun. Bubba, give me one more. Give me your best one.
Back to the NFL. Tua right now, 0 wins. Justin Herbert, 0 wins. Joe Burrow, 1 win. But who will finish with more wins at the end of the season? Who you got?
That's a good question. I'm going to say of that group... See, the Dolphins are in, I think, the worst division. I'm going to say Tua. He's only one behind. I mean, that's the thing. Herbert has played so well, but they haven't won a game. The Chargers are the best 1-4 team you'll ever see. Talk about damning with faint praise. I think I'll say Tua. The Dolphins are playing well. They're coming on, and I don't think Brian Flores makes this move. I honestly don't. If he doesn't think that they will... win and be better than they were with Fitzpatrick. I don't think this is just about the future. I think this is also about the present. So I will say by the end of this season, of the three rookie starting quarterbacks, the one with the most wins will be Tua Tagovailoa. That's who you got with Bubba? Bubba, read me the rest.
All right, that's who you got. Brought to you by Grainger. Grainger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
All right, so you've heard from Bubba, you've heard from me. Now it's your turn.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
If you're a football fan, you are aggrieved by definition. 888-SAY-ESPN is my phone number. We will air your grievances next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Still makes me laugh. If you're a football fan, you are by definition aggrieved. And this is your chance to air those grievances here with me at 888-SAY-ESPN. Craig, you're up first on ESPN Radio. Craig, air your grievance.
I just think now, 6 weeks into the season, by some bye weeks over and stuff, the Packers management not getting Aaron Rodgers any weapons or offensive line help is going to rear its ugly head here, and the Packers are going to be on the downward slide.
Absolutely. I couldn't be more with you. Craig, that's an outstandingly aired grievance. It's an outstanding grievance, and you aired it well. And I said it 3 weeks ago. The Packers are going to have a terrific year. Rodgers is playing great. They had a rough day as a team last week. But at the end of the day, they will come up just short. They will lose in the playoffs to someone like Tampa or Seattle. Because look who those quarterbacks are playing with. Look who Brady's playing with. Look who Russell Wilson is playing with. And then look who Rodgers is playing with. Rodgers has made Alan Lazard a player that you can't imagine them winning without. Oh my goodness, Alan Lazard is hurt. Alan Lazard a year ago, no one even knew who he was. He's talking about DK Metcalf on one side, Lockett. And on the other side, obviously, you have Godwin and you have Evans and you have all these weapons. Basically, Aaron Rodgers has Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. They should have gotten him some help. At least he's got a good backup. Next grievance comes from Don. Don, you're on ESPN Radio. Air your grievance.
Yeah, my grievance is I root for the only team in the league where you could go 3-18-1 and your job's not in jeopardy, and that would be the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, is there any chance? I don't know just how safe he is there, Taylor, in Cincinnati, depending on how this season goes. You know, you've got to cut him some slack. He took over a bad team. He's starting a rookie quarterback. They're in games. I mean, they were up. What were they up this week against the Colts? They were up like 20. I think it was 21-0. I was watching that game. I forget exactly what the lead was, but they were way ahead, and Rivers brings him back. Look, I think there's reason for optimism in Cincinnati. Obviously, last year was an unbridled disaster, but that kid is your reason for optimism. Joe Burrow is the real deal. I love him. I love the moxie. I love the swagger. I love the talent. I think he's really good. So I would give that one. Let's put it this way. I hear the grievance. I don't know how long-term the coaching situation is, but right now I think you're in a good place if only because you have the quarterback. What's on your mind with me, Greeny, is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We're airing our grievances. Brad, you're next on ESPN Radio. Air your grievance, Brad.
Hey, Greeny. First of all, it's great to talk to you. Love your show on Get Up. Really
Thank you.
Appreciate everything. Thank you. Great job. And I do have a grievance with you on your Baker Mayfield versus Kirk Cousins.
Go ahead.
I mean, Baker Mayfield, we're still 4-2 here in Cleveland. Kirk Cousins is 1-5, and their next game this weekend is at Green Bay. Green Bay is going to be pretty salty and ugly after an ugly loss against Tampa Bay. So I predict Kirk Cousins will be benched this weekend. And I want to take you up on a bet. Let's make a bet, and then you come to Cleveland and do one of your shows. How's that?
Well, I'd love to do that without the bet. Forget the bet a minute, but leave Brad up because I want to ask him a question. Here was my thinking on that. My thinking is the history between the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, and Case Keenum is a very successful one, and he's the backup. So if Mayfield has a few more bad days in big games, I was thinking that they may make the change because they believe they have a better chance to win, not because their season gets away from them. Is there nothing to that in your opinion, Brad?
No, you do have a valid point there. I mean, Case Keenum made the playoffs under Kevin Stefanski. You know, we all know that here in Cleveland, but I think we just have so much invested in Baker Mayfield as a number one pick in the draft that we got to figure, this guy's got to figure it out. And his trend is he beats the average and bad teams, but loses to the elite team. So that probably will continue through the season.
Right, and that's not a good trend. You want to be an elite team. You don't want to beat average teams. You want to beat good teams. So look, Brad, I appreciate it. And as far as coming and doing the show in Cleveland, I'm all in. I've had some of my favorite sports memories in Cleveland over the years. Pop by one of Michael Simon's restaurants. Stop in the afternoon at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Go over, watch LeBron play in the finals. Those were great memories. We used to do the show from Progressive Field at Cleveland for the baseball games all the time. It's awesome. Never been there for a football game because as long as I've been on the air, the Browns basically have been awful. It's nice to see them not awful. And I said earlier, and I like Baker, Bubba, we'll leave it here. I like Baker. I like everything about him. He came on Get Up with us at the Super Bowl. I liked the way he answered the questions. He sat there. He looked you in the eye. He'll tell you what he thinks. I liked what he said today about how the critics don't matter. It's their job to talk and our job to play. It's damn right. I hope that he turns it all around. I really do. That's a really good team. If Chubb ever comes back healthy, you've got as much offensive talent there with a good offensive line as any team in the NFL. So why are you getting killed by Baltimore and Pittsburgh? It just doesn't make sense. Look, what difference does it make whether I'm trying to knock Baker or not? At the end of the day, this is the year they're going to have to make a decision on him. And those are the kind of days that make you think it might go that way. I thank you for the calls. I thank you so much for being a part of the show. It's been a lot of fun today. Go home and listen to Off the Wall. And I will see you back in Better Than Ever first thing tomorrow morning for Get Up on ESPN, talking about Game 2 of the World Series and a whole lot more. And then right back here, same time, same place, Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can get more from Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. And don't miss Greeny on Get Up every morning at 8 Eastern on ESPN. Greeny, the podcast.